From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Prado, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zipessa. Zipessa's stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Kasakwi strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwi in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwi.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. IRAP is third on the inside. Taprit is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass on this first Saturday of the autumnal equinox, which of course means it is fall, and that means that horse racing is in full swing, making its way down the road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar, November 3rd and 4th. Of course, we will be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup right here on HRRN. Happy to have you with us this morning. 41 days, 6 hours, 23 minutes until that Breeders' Cup World Championships. And no win-in-your-in action on the docket today. We had several win-in-your-in races last weekend. We will have a whole bunch more next weekend with those Super Saturdays at Belmont and at Santa Anita. But we do have some really good racing, and in a wide-open three-year-old division, we have some races that could play into that three-year-old championship later this afternoon. We'll talk about that as we move throughout the program. Well, the Pontiff of the Pick Four is traveling this weekend, so I have the privilege of sitting in with a special guest co-host by the name of Brian Collins. And interestingly enough, Brian and I grew up just a couple of miles from each other in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We attended the same high school, St. Joe, class of 1989. I think we had 52 students in our graduating class. Somehow, two of us ended up here in the Bluegrass working in the horse business. And Brian, if that's not crazy enough, somehow we're sitting here today doing this show together. That's really crazy.
Well, you got to know, if there's only 50-something people in your graduating class, it's a good place to get out of. So yeah. It made sense to get out of there.
Am I right? And was it 52?
It was either 52 or 56, and it might have only been 56 because a couple were in full by the time we graduated. So you might be right on that one.
Yeah, well, it's good to be here. You actually spent some time working at TaylorMade, but last year, right about the same time, you attended the Bluegrass Farm Charities event. And what we do each and every year is we donate a silent auction item where somebody will have an opportunity to bid to sit in as a co-host on this program. It's taken us a year to get it off the ground, but you were the winner of prize last year. What'd you, like 500 grand? Is that
what
you went to?
I grew up less than a mile from you, and I had to buy my way into your show. But it was for a good cause. I'm a part owner in a company called Ultras LLC. It's a therapeutic ultrasound for horses. And so
we talked about it for a while on the show. We were doing some commercials for Ultras.
Yeah, we did. We did a sponsorship. I think it was the countdown to the Breeders' Cup last year.
Yeah, it was.
So it's a good cause, and we like to go support that. And this was a good way to do it. And it was either that or buy some jewelry that I can't wear. So
no, you can go either way on that one.
I mean, I look good in pearls. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it is a busy weekend, as I mentioned, and really looking forward to the next 2 hours. We're going to be joined by several special guests. The big event that we will be covering here on the network tonight is the Charlestown Oaks. It's a Grade 3. This is the fifth or sixth year that we brought you coverage of the Charlestown Oaks. You'll be able to tune in 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight, because that race is a night race program. It's the Race for the Ribbon program at Charlestown. 9 o'clock Eastern, Anthony Stabile and Felix Mendez are going to bring you that coverage. And, you know, when you look at that particular race, BC, it's a race that is going to have a full field of 10. There will be a couple of scratches from what we understand. I think I was informed that Stay Fond and Sine Wave are going to come out, which means that Yorkie Poo Princess and Shimmering Aspen will draw in. So we still have a field of 10. Going to be a really contentious race up there at Charlestown.
Yeah, I mean, that's a an overflow field. I mean, they had 14 signed up for it. So I'm glad Yorkie Poo Princess gets to draw in just because it's a fun name to say.
You get to say the name, right?
Yeah, and I want to hear that on the race call mostly. But, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a couple good horses in that, and it'll be that's a speed track. It'll be interesting with it being a night race, how the lights play in. Charlestown being, you know, a two-turn, seven furlong. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, funny that you would bring up the lights, because when we travel to Charlestown to broadcast the Charlestown Classic every spring, we talk about that element. At least now they've moved it to a day race, but when they were running at night, that's a legitimate factor for horses that aren't used to racing under the lights.
Sure. You know, I mean, Churchill went to the lights for a while, and, you know, that was it was something that had to play in. You know, and when they're coming around and they're seeing that, there's one thing about seeing the grandstand and having a horse not take off for the hot dog stand.
Yeah.
But when they're coming around staring at the lights and, you know, hopefully a good attendance, you know, for the race, it'll be interesting to see how much that plays in.
Yeah, well, it should be good. Our coverage again, 9 o'clock Eastern here on the network. It's the Grade 3 Charlestown Classic. I mentioned at the top of the show, there are some other races playing into what is a wide open 3-year-old division. You have the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks later this afternoon. That race is accompanied by the Grade 1 Cotillion for the 3-year-old fillies. You also have on the docket for tomorrow the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby, and each of those featuring horses that we've seen along the Triple Crown Trail and in the Travers Stakes. You have the Travers winner West Coast going in that Pennsylvania Derby. Man, this division with three separate winners of the Triple Crown races is still up for grabs, and you have to think that if a horse jumps up and wins one of these races, it's only going to muddy the waters even more.
The field, I mean, and you look at Timeline and West Coast; those horses have been duking it out nonstop. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top and who stays to form versus who kind of dips off a little bit. But you know, it is kind of wide open.
Yeah, and I said if a horse wins one of those races, it'll muddy the picture. If a horse is going to win one of those races, so we're pretty sure of that. You can bet on that, right?
Somebody will cross the finish line.
If a horse that has not been involved in winning one of those Triple Crown races or the Travers, let's say like West Coast, if an outsider, a new shooter, so to speak, jumps up and wins it, well, you just throw your hands up in the air and say, you know, where does this 3-year-old picture? How about for you? Who's the leader in that 3-year-old division right now?
You know, that one's going to be difficult. I do like Timeline. I just think that horse has a lot of potential. I think he's bred well. But where that goes is anybody's guess. Like you said, you know, there's so many horses in it that could do something spectacular between now and then. I mean, the late summer campaign up in Saratoga, it always takes a toll.
Yep.
You know, so who's going to stay healthy? Who's going to be able to move on? Is going to be anybody's guess.
And they're going to start facing older horses after this, which I think will weigh into that decision. If one of these 3-year-olds jumps up and beats older horses once, maybe even twice.
Yeah.
You know, considering nobody came to the forefront throughout the Triple Crown.
When you look at the Pacific Classic, too, and, you know, that kind of upended everything there, too. Mm-hmm. So, what was it? Collected, you know, beating Arrogate. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that's going to... Who's going to go for the mile? Who's going to go for the classic? You know, there's so many guesses with the Breeders' Cup being, I think you said, 41 days out.
Yeah,
you know, there's
believe.
A lot that can
it's
happen.
It's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot that can happen between now and then. You know, I mean, who's going to stay healthy, I think, is going to be one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the connections of many of these contenders for the Breeders' Cup have decided to bypass some of the big races next weekend. They're going to just train up to the Breeders' Cup, which, again, you're not talking about a huge amount of time between now and the Breeders' Cup, but keep in mind, they probably haven't raced for a couple, 2-3 weeks. So they are going to be coming in off of a bit of a freshening, so to speak, and we'll see, you know, how that plays out.
Who's going to sneak a race under their belt between now and then? And is it going to be a freshening or is it going to be a real race?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot to go. You've got the races, like you said, with Super Saturday coming up. Then you've got the October meet at Keeneland. So there's a lot that can happen between now and the time that, you know, the horn sounds.
A lot of questions to be answered. We saw some of those winning your ins last weekend. And we're going to continue to talk about those as we move throughout the show. Here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. We're going to be joined right around 8:30 Eastern time by Eric Zimney, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations at Charlestown. He'll talk about that Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. Chris Kutulak from Remington Park will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern. Chris will look ahead to tomorrow's Oklahoma Derby. That's a race that features Girvin and Battle of Midway, a really solid renewal of the Oklahoma Derby. So we'll talk to Chris about that right about 9. And then Brad Green from Washington Hay Company will join us at 9:25 Eastern to tell you how you can feed your horses only the best with Washington Hay. And then Larry Rivelli will be with us at 9:40 Eastern. And if you're not familiar with trainer Larry Rivelli, well, you should be, because he just broke the record for single-season training victories at Arlington with his 76th victory this past week. So congratulations to Larry Rivelli. That was previously a record held by Wayne Catalano with 75 wins in 2010. So we'll have a chance to visit with Larry Rivelli coming up toward the end of the program. Poll question for the morning. Well, it's going to be pretty simple. I mentioned the wide-open three-year-old division. We want to know, in your opinion, who is the leader in this division? If the Eclipse Awards were voted on today and you had to pick a three-year-old champion, who's it going to be? Who is your vote? Who gets your vote for three-year-old champion right now sitting here on September 23rd? That's what we want to know. You can do it at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we'll try to flip through some of those responses and pass them along as we move throughout the show this morning. We're back with more. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
When it comes to picking winners at the racetrack, information is vital. And having information that your fellow players don't can lead to big payoffs. Biasbook.net is a must-have handicapping tool for all horse players. Biasbook.net does the hard work for you, identifying horses that ran with and against the bias. Now through Breeders' Cup, an exclusive offer only for HRRN listeners. Enter promo code HRRN and receive a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription at Biasbook.net, your source for the bias horse.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come.
Jacket the ascendancy light.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Teppan just off the leader's flank in second top of the stretch. A gap of two more to Tourist, who swings to the outside third. Mashawish is fourth in the center of the course. Grand Arch fifth back toward the inside. And then Impassable. Teppan has taken the lead, coming past the eighth pole. Obviously second, Grand Arch is coming late from third. But Teppan has a five-length margin and deep stretch. It is Teppan with Julian Leperoux. Mondial Least runs late to second. But Teppan has won the Breeders' Cup Mile. Mondial Least second, Grand Arch third. Mashawish was fourth in 1:36 3/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. If you are just joining us, the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, is traveling this weekend. So sitting in with me is special guest co-host Brian Collins. And looking forward to the next couple of hours here. We're going to talk about the Breeders' Cup picture in this next segment, because we heard Kurt Becker with the call coming out of that commercial break. That was Teppan winning the 2015 Breeders' Cup Mile right here at Keeneland. And Mark Cassie, the trainer of Teppan, he has another good opportunity to add a second Breeders' Cup Mile to his resume with World Approval, who looked so good last week winning the Rico Woodbine Mile, won the four-star Dave the race before that at Saratoga. That was a race that was run, as you remember, we had the coverage for you here on the network. It was run in a right after a hellacious thunderstorm, and good to see World Approval back on track and win the four-star Dave and then taking the Woodbine Mile. And, you know, Brian, look, I mean, here's a horse that, you know, people were saying, okay, well, he's a good horse. You know, maybe he's just a cut below some of the ones that we've seen from time to time. But now he's 2-for-2 at the mile distance. And you have to think, a legitimate player in that Breeders' Cup Mile division.
And the way that the mile played out up in Woodbine, that was a heck of a race for anybody that missed it. You know, those horses were all bunched the entire way. And, I mean, he had a great trip. He was out to the front and, you know, went back and forth with the other horse next to him. But, you know, to pull away from that field, the three-length win, I think, was a little bit deceiving. It made it look easy on paper. But, you know, that whole group was right there, and that was a good group of horses. So, you know, I think this horse is a legitimate contender.
I remember when we covered the four-star Dave back on August 12th, one of the discussion topics was, okay, World Approval has never raced at the one-mile distance. Will he be able to duplicate some of his best form that he showed at longer distances going a mile? I think he's been even better.
I think it was a great move dropping him back. You know, like I said, he was out in the front of that pack, and it looked like some of those speed horses would swallow him up, but, you know, he just moved on. And, you know, once they went to the whip on the turn, he really pulled away. And like I said, that three-length win is deceiving. You know, I mean, they were all right there, and he did everything he needed to do for that.
How good is Mark Cassie? I mean, each and every year he has multiple horses in the Breeders' Cup and just continues that consistency that we've come to know him for. And, boy, here he is again with a horse like World Approval, and you know, who knows who else he brings into the Breeders' Cup, but I'm sure he'll have several other horses ready to roll.
I mean, he's great at developing horses.
Yep.
Good eye for him at the sales, and he's great at developing them. You know, his program works very well. Right, and my hat off to him.
Yeah, no doubt. You look at that mile division, believe it or not, the first win in your inn for the mile division was contested back on January 7th, and that was at Kenilworth, Legal Eagle in South Africa, the South African bred getting the victory and an automatic qualifier. Probably not going to see Legal Eagle here, but it would be really cool if we were to see that horse come to the Breeders' Cup. It's somewhat took the Star Doncaster Mile at Randwick, so automatically qualified. These are all early in the season. You had the Chilean bred Top Casablanca win the mile in Santiago, Chile. Then you had a couple of winning your ends here in the States, June 3rd and June 4th. We had one in the States at Santa Anita, the Shoemaker Mile. Bal Abali getting the victory there. And then Santo Aladin getting the victory in Tokyo. So there are, you know, you look at those names and you don't, not that they're not really good horses, but you wonder how many of them, first of all, those foreign horses are actually going to show up for the Breeders' Cup. And then you say, okay, is there a name in there that really scares you if you're world approval? I don't think there is, right? There's not a Tepin. There's not. Now, I know Miss Temple City is saying that she's going to, their connections are saying she's probably going to point for the mile.
Yeah, well, you know, and the win in your ends, it doesn't mean they're going to go. And, you know, that kind of, when they introduced that program, it kind of upended everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for good reason. You know, what I think will be interesting, and I mentioned it briefly earlier, you know, Collected and Arrogant. You know, you got Collected, who loves Del Mar. You know, that horse just skips across that track and does phenomenal out there. It'll be interesting to see what happens because, you know, if Arrogant goes to the Classic, I got to think Collected will go to the mile or stay in the mile. So that would be a horse that I think could go toe-to-toe.
But is Arrogate still the best horse in training?
I think so. You know, yeah. I mean,
even considering what Gunrunner did at Saratoga, where he was so impressive.
That horse, I mean, yeah. I mean, you bring up a freak like that, you know, because he's coming in to peak at the perfect time. And, you know, seems to be getting better with every stride.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good argument if you want to go west versus east or north versus south.
That's really one of the main storylines of the Classic, right? It's east versus west, almost a Sunday Silence easy goer type of situation. Like we had back in the late 80s. But, yeah, I mean, back to your point, I guess a lot of people will still say Arrowgate is still better than Gunrunner because Gunrunner has never beaten Arrowgate.
But right? Arrogate's been beaten.
Yeah, you know, so he proved that he can be beaten.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so there's a solid argument on both sides of that one, I think.
Yeah, it should be interesting. All that will play out. All those questions are going to be answered November 3rd and 4th at Del Mar in San Diego. Make sure you join us as we take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network with so many of those major Breeders' Cup prep races coming your way over the next several weeks. You can go to horseracingradio.net to see a complete road to the Breeders' Cup schedule and then join us all week long from Del Mar and for every single Breeders' Cup race. The only place you'll hear it on radio is with us. And all that coverage, Breeders' Cup Week, is presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. All right, so we started off, BC, talking about that three-year-old picture, and we both agreed, you know, and I think Captain Obvious, it is a wide-open three-year-old division. And our poll question that I threw out to our listeners is probably going to echo that same sentiment, and you can vote at HRN on Twitter. If the Eclipse Awards were voted on today and you were voting for the three-year-old champion, who's it going to be? Who are you going to vote for?
I would pick me. Personally,
you know, write in vote.
I'm very spry.
Yeah, but you're not 21 anymore.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we did discuss that on the break there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even cast a ballot, to be honest with you. I just think it's so wide open. There's so many good horses in there, and so many spotty ones, you know, who have come up with big victories. And I just think there's too much in there.
I'm not sure you can really cast a vote today, right? I mean, I think about the poll question. I say, well, you know, can you really definitively put your finger on one horse? Look, the Kentucky Derby always weighs heavily into the decision of voters. So you have all these dreaming.
Yeah,
all the classics do. But the Derby in particular, because of the big field, because of it is the Kentucky Derby, because everybody is pointing for that race. So, you know, Always Dreaming, I know he didn't follow through with anything after the Kentucky Derby. But is he the one? Is he still the leader in the clubhouse? You know, Cloud Computing, he hasn't done anything after the Preakness.
Looking at Lee, you know, I mean, followed up with a race here and there. But, you know, there's I think the Derby kind of weighs into the Eclipse voting more so than
probably
the Preakness or the Belmont.
Probably.
You know, because you get some snipers that kind of come in and out that maybe didn't draw into the Derby. Maybe that wasn't their distance. For whatever reason, they didn't run.
Yep.
So I think when it comes to the voting, the Derby weighs heavy, but you know, you still got to follow it up. Like Battle of Midway, I mean, third in the Derby, and that horse is still running, still trying to find his track.
Right.
Know?
Right. Tappert, you know, obviously wins the Belmont. We've only seen him once. He came back in the Travers, so, you know, it's hard to really judge and, you know, knock a horse like that. So, yeah, again, and then, you know, West Coast comes back and wins the Travers. If he can pair up another win, another grade one win in the Pennsylvania Derby later today, then maybe all of a sudden we're thinking, okay, you know, West Coast is a horse that you better take a look at for that three-year-old championship honors, especially if he would jump up and beat older horses. I don't think he's out of it by any stretch of the imagination. You actually mentioned Timeline when we talked about this in the first segment. Timeline won the Grade 3 Peter Pan. The Grade 3 Pegasus came back and was a disappointing fifth in the Haskell as the favorite behind Gervin and McCracken. So he has work to do. Gervin's a horse that maybe we look at as being in this discussion, considering the spring campaign that he had and then winning that Haskell. He came back in the Travers Stakes and wasn't the Gervin that we're used to seeing. He was 11th of 12 that day, beating 20 lengths.
He definitely threw a clunker in there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and to go back to Timeline, you know, one of the reasons I'm kind of hot on that horse is, you know, that's a speed horse that likes to come out and be in the front. And, you know, in that Haskell, broke bad, and I think kind of spent himself trying to catch up. So, you know, I'm willing to scratch that one out. But if you do, then he's only got a handful of grade threes, mm-hmm. which it's hard to say only because grade three is not easy to
so
win.
So are you high on Timeline in terms of a three-year-old championship picture or
no.
just in terms of this Pennsylvania Derby?
Just in terms of the PA Derby. Yeah, I don't think he's in the discussion for, you know, for a three-year-old champ.
Right.
You know, West Coast, you could probably make an argument for.
Yeah, I think
certainly so. Winning the Travers didn't hurt. But, you know, again, you're going up against some of those classic horses. And if any of those horses from the classics manage to keep form and move on or do something in the Breeders' Cup, then they make a case for themselves.
Yeah, they do make a case for themselves. A lot still to be determined. Again, you can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRN. You can do it on Facebook, too. If you're not following us, do that now. Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And who's your vote? Right now, September 23rd, your vote for the three-year-old champion. We want to know. Do it right now.
Dare you.
Dare you. Dare you to do it. Dare you to double dare you.
Ooh, double dog. With a cherry on.
Exactly. All right, it is time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Eric Zimney is going to join us on the other side of this. He will talk about the big day at Charlestown. That comes up later tonight, the Race for the Ribbon program and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. It's right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who outdid his sire and then some in winning the Belmont Stakes, and in so doing wrapped up racing's Triple Crown in the same year the Boston Red Sox won the American League pennant with the likes of the Splendid Splinter and the Little Professor, Ted Williams, and Dominic DiMaggio, for those of you among the uninitiated. Even most wary, hard-bitten skeptics of this particular thoroughbred had to finally admit that there was nothing in sight to give him a tussle after a relatively easy win in the Belmont Stakes to nail down the final leg of the Triple Crown, only the seventh horse in its revered history to have done so. The Belmont run on Saturday, June 1st of that year, removed the last obstacle to his complete domination of his age division. He won the 12-furlong affair with ease under a supremely confident ride by Warren Mertens, and if there were any doubts or shreds of excuse by his opponents, the arguability of them dissipated like an early morning fog in the glowing sun. This was some kind of racehorse indeed. You know, in racing, nothing surprises. The three-year-old campaign of the horse nicknamed the Clubfoot Comet was indeed poignantly illustrative of that axiom. He had been accorded not the slightest consideration by the supposedly in-the-knowers in regard to his chances in the Derby. But he cantered off to a virtually uncontested eighth-length score in an eye-popping performance. 1 week later, he'd overcome some bad racing luck and some questionable handling as well, and coming home a winner in a run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness, by a bare neck. The surprising thing was that his performance in the latter event had been so singularly unimpressive to many, he was regarded only moderately at best as a candidate to culminate his campaign by winning the Belmont. Well, all he did was dispel any last vestiges of dubiousness by racing to a victory that, in its own way, was even more decisive than his Derby score. Old-timers and youthful aficionados alike now realized, sit up and take notice time for this horse. If this great thoroughbred had any shortcoming, it was that aesthetically he was nondescript at best. Many often said the best thing about him was the caliber of his competition. That was as blatantly demeaning as tell a young lady she has as much class as a telephone pole. He never looked pretty. He was blue-collar, lunch-pail, punch-the-clock type, who knew what he had to do, and he did it. He wasn't the object of adulation and excitement because of his appearance. No, indeed. That came as a result of his ability to do what he was born to do, run. And run he could. Oh, yes, his competitors were not noteworthy, to be sure. Not because they actually were, but rather because he made them look that way by his ability. His sire, Bold Venture, bowed a tendon after the Preakness and could not win the final leg of the Triple Crown, although he was as game as a thoroughbred could be. This horse, with a slight disfigurement in one of his forelegs, had no trouble, other than the aforementioned problems in the Preakness, in nailing down each of racing's jewels of the Triple Crown. His sire, Bull Venture, had won a marvelous Derby in closing from 11th place to whip Brevity, and then had barely outlasted Granville to win the Preakness. Although there may not have been any Brevities or Granvilles to challenge our subject for this piece, there can be absolutely no denying he outdid his illustrious sire and joined Sir Barton, Gallant Fox, Omaha, War Admiral, Whirlaway, and Count Fleet as members of a very select company, Triple Crown winners. That marvelous thoroughbred who went on to become an outstanding handicap horse was none other than Assault, affectionately named the Clubfoot Comet.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
We hope you're enjoying HRRN's coverage of the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, and we hope you can join us for our next big night of racing on Saturday, October 14th, for the 31st annual West Virginia Breeders' Classics. $1 million will be up for grabs as the best horses West Virginia has to offer will square off in 9 state bred stakes races, headlined by the $350,000 West Virginia Breeders' Classic. So mark your calendars for Saturday, October 14th for Breeders' Classics Night here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Taprit has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Taprit's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Philly's Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, and the winners of 3 of the past 4 Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming sales. Taprit. standing at Gainesway.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tecalita circles up from the outside, and Pretty City Dancer is given the green light by Le Perru. She'll be four or five wide as they turn for home. Up top, Miss Locust Point and Joel Rosario cut the corner with a narrow lead. Tecalita and Pretty City Dancer begin to get to her, and here's Bronze Cat, the local horse, down the center. Inside the final furlong, Pretty City Dancer and Tecalita go on. Bronze Cat continues to close, then back to Miss Locust Point. In deep stretch, Tecalita digging in, and Tecalita will win the forward gal. Pretty City Dancer second, Bronze Cat third, then Summer Luck and Miss Locust Point in 124 and one.
Pete Aiello with the call of that grade two forward gal. That was at Gulfstream back on February 4th. An impressive victory for Tecalita, who returns to action later tonight in the grade three Charlestown Oaks at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. And let me tell you something, this field is absolutely loaded. It is a field of 10 and highly contentious field. Tecalita, 7-2 on the morning line. She may end up going postward as the favorite, but it's going to be like a Breeders' Cup caliber betting race when you have 10 horses, full field, and a 3-1, 7-2 type of favorite. So make sure you're locked into our coverage coming up later tonight. That begins 9 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. Anthony Stabile, Felix Mendez will take you through that coverage of the Charlestown Oaks, and should be a good one. Mike Penna, Brian Collins sitting in for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, who is traveling this weekend. We are with you in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, and now have the privilege of welcoming in our good friend Eric Zimney, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations at Charlestown. Eric, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, happy Race for the Ribbon Day.
Yeah, same to you, Mike. Same to you. Yeah, it's a great day out here. We've got a bunch of events that are going to raise some really good money for a great cause. And as you said, you know, after the break, Charlestown Oaks is a pretty loaded race and a great night of racing.
Have they started the foot race yet?
They started the foot race about the 5K about 7 minutes ago. So I'm glad you called, because I'm already done.
So you're out.
Timing worked out well.
You don't even, sound winded. Well done.
No. I did a Rosie Ruiz and got off the subway and ran the last half a kilometer.
Moving like a tremendous machine.
Exactly. A broken machine, but tremendous.
All right. Well, let's start with the Charlestown Oaks. Eric, I mentioned the quality of the field, the full field, that outstanding betting opportunity here for players all over the world who will be tuning in tonight. Tell me a little bit about how this field came together.
You know, we're only allowed to have obviously 10 in the body, then carry four horses on the also eligibles list. We had more than that. We had four horses not even make the overnight. We had 18 horses in the race.
Yeah, I told you it was really good, right?
And that's impressive, you know, and you've got, you know, two drawn in already, possibly, yeah. if that's what's happened. Eric, do you know if that's the case or not?
I think we actually lost our connection here with
Eric. He had
Eric
to get back on the subway for that 5K. Yeah. A good, solid, vague reference there. That was really
yet.
Good.
He actually was not done with that race yet.
It's probably the ribbon ceremony.
We'll get connected with Eric again here in just a second. But, yeah, I mean, how about that? 18 horses entered into that grade three Charlestown Classic, at least attempting to enter into that race. Pretty spectacular. Eric is back with us now. Eric, apologies for the technical difficulties there, but you were saying 18 horses attempting to get into this grade three race.
Yeah, we had 18 in there, and you know, that's a good problem to have when, you know, you're talking about four horses that couldn't even make the overnight. And, you know, Shimmering Aspen looks like one of the better horses in the race, if not the favorite. She drew in, you know, which is good. I know they wanted to run here. But, you know, we moved it a week later, actually, in the calendar this year. We got a horse out of the Prioress that we may not have gotten otherwise. There was a couple horses that skipped the Prioress after the test. Maybe the timing just worked better for them. You know, we didn't really do anything hustling it any different, but 18 horses. I mean, we couldn't be happier with the field. The office did a great job with this one.
Yeah, just a tremendous job. And you mentioned Shimmering Aspen, who drew in off the also eligible list. Do you think she goes favorite over Tekelita?
I know. I was talking to Paul Espinosa, our announcer, about that yesterday. He thinks she will. I think it's probably – I'd go 50-50 either way. I know a lot of the speed figure people will tell you Shimmering Aspen, you know, is deserving of the favorite role in this one. But it'll be close between the two. And I would imagine Overture, who has Jose Ortiz on the program list as the rider. Mike Smith's actually going to ride her tonight. He's going to be on the plane coming from Parks, too. So I'd imagine she would take some money. But Tekelita and Shimmering Aspen are probably going to be the top two choices.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Overture. As you were making your comments there, Brian, sitting next to me, or has the past performances right in front of him, and he pointed to number three, Overture, as a horse that maybe is a horse to be reckoned with tonight.
Maybe. I mean, the horse looks like she's got a good bit of tactical speed. And, you know, Mike Smith, he's won over this track before. He knows what he's doing, certainly. So, yeah, I mean, I'm imagining she'll take money. But like we were talking about at the outset, it's a pretty level field. I mean, I would doubt the favorite's going to be anything shorter than 5-2, 3-1.
Well, and that's what I was, talking to Mike about, or gesturing. You know, Overture at 5-1, you know, certainly seems like a decent play. With those horses drawn in, I think that'll change that. And Tekelita, like, how cool is that? You know, you got Michael Matz, who's trained, you know, both the sire and the dam of that horse.
Yeah, and I believe his wife bred the horse, too. So, I mean, it's a total family deal for the Matz family. And, yeah, to have trainers like Michael, Graham Motion's running a horse in there, too. I mean, the list of trainers is pretty good for us. We don't always get those guys here at Charlestown, of course, but... I was just happy that the field turned out better when last year's race was a little bit of a down one.
I'm talking with Eric Zimini from Charlestown here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Don't sell yourself short, Eric. You get a lot of big-name players coming to Charlestown, not just for this race, but for the Charlestown Classic in the spring as well. Just a tremendous job by you and your entire team to really make Charlestown one of those places that if you have a good horse, you really need to consider the races that you're offering throughout the year.
Well, no, I appreciate that, Mike, and our office does. They do a tremendous job with these races. But, you know, when you see guys like Michael Matz, like Graham Motion, Bill Mott in the race, of course, at Overture, sending, you know, if these guys are willing to send horses here, then, I don't see why there'd be anyone who wouldn't be willing to send a horse here. And kind of something we had to buck at the outset when we started these races. But, 7 or 8 years in now, it's we really don't have to worry about that nearly as much. And I think you see it in the card tonight. The $50,000 race before the Charlestown Oaks is pretty loaded for a $50,000 race, too. So it's a great sequence at the end of the card.
Yeah, and I think the whole card, offers a whole bunch of potential. And the race for the ribbon, do you want to talk about that charity at all?
Sure, yeah. We started this event. This is the 9th one, and we have a bunch of events here on track. We have the 5K going on right now. We have a walk around the racetrack itself. We have a silent auction. We have some other great stuff that raises a good amount of money for breast cancer care, treatment, and awareness, and it all stays local here in West Virginia. It all goes to help an entity known as the West Cancer Breast Health Initiative. Truly does contribute an amount of money that'll save a life or lives plural at some point. I mean, we're well into six figures at this point for the charity. And
wow.
We had a pretty good group of runners and have some really cool silent auction items tonight. So it's not just about the racing today for us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the Pink Ribbon Stakes is the race that precedes that Grade 3 Charlestown Classic. If you are just tuning in, our coverage tonight begins 9 o'clock Eastern Time. You can tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet, Bluetooth us in your car, listen to us wherever you might be, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Post time for the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks is 10:18 Eastern. Eric, about that Pink Ribbon. 9:45 Eastern is the post. Race 11, 7 furlongs, much like the Charlestown Oaks, 7 furlongs on obviously the main track. Tell me about that race.
Yeah, again, full field at 10. I think there's going to be a couple scratches in there. I think Jonathan Shepherd's horse is going to be out, and there's another one, Renaissance Rosie, I think her name is going to be out. But I think there's one or two that drew in, and, you know, Kimmick Peak sent Kath Ballou, who, you know, it's a name that a lot of racing fans will know. I mean, she's been knocking head in Great Stakes Company most of her career. The horse was third in the Dell Cap is there, too. Lake Pontchartrain's a nice local horse. So, you know, again, we were thrilled with the way that turned out for 50,000. I mean, now you go to some of the places, you know, Parks allowance races are, you know, more than that. And to get those kind of horses for a $50,000 stake, those are the kind of races that are really going to fill out the card at the back end and kind of pump up the wagering numbers tonight, I think.
How important are nights like tonight to the West Virginia horse industry?
They're huge. You know, part of the effort that we'd undertaken, again, sort of 7 or 8 years ago, is to just try to build the brand of this place. If you're not integrated some way into the national racing scene, in an era where, you know, simulcasting is so prevalent and people, your audience isn't just people around here who can come to the racetrack. It's everyone around the country, really. You know, we had to, you know, get some exposure that way. And last year we had a record handle year, and this year we're 20% ahead of a record year this year. So to see the results that are kind of built off the back of these events and, you know, how we've distributed and produced our signal on television and radio, you know, it's really gratifying to see those results. And up 20%, I don't know, on no track in the country that wouldn't take that.
Yeah, that's the power of HRN. You know that, right?
Of course it is. Of course it is. When you flash that Eclipse Award, you know, HRN Eclipse Award,
I have it sitting right next to me here in the studio, by the way.
I know. You carry it around. You make Colmus.
He's been polishing it for like the last 20 minutes at least.
At least.
Colmus doesn't have one of those.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even have an Emmy, does he?
He does get the opportunity to say Yorkie Poo Princess several times, hopefully.
He will. He's not calling tonight, right?
No, we got to our local. Paul tonight, yeah. And I mean, I was good when you played the Gulfstream. Was at the Forward Gal?
Right.
I heard Pete Aiello, and you know, it's nice to hear him better than the old guy. There, you know?
Eric Zimney with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, of course, good friends with the announcer Larry Colmus, and looking forward to a big night on Race for the Ribbon night. What's going on behind you? I hear a lot of commotion. Are they coming by?
There is that. This is the first runners finishing the 5K, and this is going to make Secretariat to Belmont look like a nose finished by a nose, because I don't see anyone within a couple hundred yards of this guy.
I thought you were the first runner to cross the finish line.
They've already caught me that I took the subway. So I've already been DQ'd.
Eric, when you talk to people about racing at Charlestown and coming to West Virginia to your facility, what's your approach? What's your sales pitch, so to speak?
Well, you know, here's the thing. At this point, so many of the guys have, you know, have run with us that the pitch is less and less about here's why you should come here, and it's more, you know, just giving them familiar faces and names to you know, kind of associate with it, because people are, you know, horsemen and people in general are creatures of habit, and you know, once you get someone here, you show them a good time, show them a positive experience, and they usually come back, and they have so. At this point, it's really nothing more than just showing them, you know, giving them some good white glove treatment when they get here, and that usually is able to bring them back.
Eric Zimney, he's the Vice President of Racing Operations at Charlestown. He is with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and like all of our guests, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Eric, appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the Race for the Ribbon tonight, and of course, go Steelers.
Absolutely. Better not lose tomorrow to the Bears. So, no, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Eric, pleasure.
Again, 9 o'clock Eastern is when our coverage kicks off. Stream it worldwide at horseracingradio.net. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back and get you set for hour number two. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillips continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillips standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephanos Papadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As the field turns for home, McCracken cut loose with a powerful rally outside of Irish War Cry. Irish War Cry and McCracken. McCracken has the lead. Practical Joke is finding his best stride. Timeline is dropped out of it. Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell. Practical Joke was a great third. And Irish War Cry finished fourth.
Frank Miramati bringing them home in the Grade 1 Haskell at Monmouth back on July 30th. Gervin by a flared nostril over McCracken to get the victory that day. Came back to finish 11th of 12 in the Travers, not his best effort, and he's hoping for better tomorrow in the Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby at Remington Park. Chris Katulak is going to be with us in just about 8 minutes from now at 9 o'clock Eastern. We'll talk to Chris all about that Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby. Also going to be joined in the second half of the show by Brad Green from Washington Hay Company to tell you about feeding your horses only the best with Washington Hay. And Larry Ravelli, the trainer who has been on a roll lately. He saddled Iroquois winner The Tabulator at Churchill last week and just set the single-season record for wins by a trainer at Arlington. Larry is going to be with us at 9:40 Eastern. So a lot to look forward to here in the second half of the show. Mike Penna, Brian Collins in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios this morning. If you're just tuning in here and missed the first part of the show, Brian bid on a silent auction item at Bluegrass Farm Charities last year, right about this same time. And it's an item that we donate every year to Bluegrass Farm Charities to support that great organization. And the prize is that you get to sit in as a co-host on a show. So it was nice of Brian to spend a little time in studio with me here this morning. And it only took us a year to get this together, but
yeah,
we're good.
You know, it's a great charity. I feel like when I bid on it, they promised me a cool nickname because you got like Baron of the Backstretch and Pontiff of the
Pick Four.
Yeah, Pick Four.
Yep. The Big A, Anthony Stabile.
Yep.
Yep.
K-Mac.
Yep, Jockey K-Mac, yeah.
Can I be like creepy guy by the eighth pole or something? Like, I mean,
I need something. Can you give yourself your own nickname?
Maybe we should make that a poll
question. I don't
know
if you really can give yourself your own. No, you don't want people weighing in on that.
No, yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
No.
People, okay, so we talked about this at the top of the show. You and I literally grew up within less than 2 miles of each other in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Both attended the same high school. Both work in the horse industry here in central Kentucky somehow, which is really bizarre. But that's the way it all worked out. You also spent some time touring the world as a stand-up comedian.
That's correct. Yeah, I spent about 16, 17 years doing that solely. Moved down here with some horses to sell and met a girl and sold the horse. Don't have the girl, don't have the horse, but couldn't find a way to leave, you know. And I have a great six-year-old boy that, you know, keeps me grounded, keeps me here. And, of course, the horses don't make it difficult at all. I actually still tour doing stand-up. I take a lot more select gigs now, so I don't wake up in Des Moines wondering why. But I do have a show coming up on the 29th in Nicholasville, Kentucky, right down the road from the studio.
Oh, cool. Where's that?
Keene Lodge.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. I guess it used to be a hotel. You know, the last show I did in Kentucky was up in...
capacity, what, six?
No, that would have been busting at the seams.
Oh.
It was a barber shop up in Paris. And I've learned that when you fire your manager, you have to ask a lot of questions. So I rolled up to the place, and it was an old converted barber shop, and they had bullet holes in the window. And when I asked the guy, I was like, are those really bullet holes? And he's like, don't worry about it. They were aiming for a different building. Like, that,
well, that
was
makes
somehow,
you feel good.
Oh, yeah. Like, of course. Yeah. Like, well, thank God their aim is bad. Like, so, yeah, but the next show is on the 29th. That'll be down in Nicholasville. Good lineup of other comics as well.
Yeah, good. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. You can head over and check Brian out and tell him you heard him right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network if you're in the local area and down in Nicholasville, Kentucky. How'd you get hooked on horse racing?
I became a track rat over at Saratoga. Dad used to load up the whole car at like 5 in the morning. We'd go over, watch the workouts, and, you know, once the track cleared, we'd go over to McDonald's, grab a sausage biscuit, and wait for the race day. You know, it was kind of a family affair. There was 7 of us, so we were stacked into a panel station wagon, and, you know, Saratoga is really what kind of bit me for it.
Yeah.
And then I moved out to Southern California, and Del Mar, you know, certainly sealed the deal. And
you said you might even like Del Mar better than Saratoga, which for me growing up, you know, for both of us growing up an hour from Saratoga, that's somewhat blasphemous.
Almost. Yeah. You know, because, you know, Saratoga is an experience for sure. You know, I mean, you can tailgate inside and there's the spa and there's that atmosphere to it. And the fact that you can get a grade one on a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, so nothing's ever going to beat Saratoga in terms of racing. For the fan experience, though, I think Del Mar was built with that in mind. You know, it's certainly a newer track. But, you know, you can sit there on the upstairs patio and look out at the ocean, look down and watch horses being saddled. Yeah. And then 10 feet away is the railing. You know, so it is built more for that fan experience. Saratoga is great, but it'll take you half an hour to walk from the saddling paddock to the gate. Really, I mean, in all reality, it's a nice walk. And you're probably going to spend $27 on a churro on the way. But, you know, I for my pound, for the penny for the pound is, you know, you got Saratoga, Keeneland, and Del Mar, I think, are the three top tracks for fan experience in my mind.
Yeah.
Now there's a million great tracks to go out and watch racing and have a great time. But, you know, in my travels, you know, you end up in, you know, Des Moines or in Southern Texas or something like that. Like, they have good racing and it's fun to go there, but, you know, you grow up at Saratoga and it's kind of, everything has a higher standard.
Yeah. Yeah. I still am a Saratoga guy through and through. If I had to pick my number one track, Del Mar, my only problem with Del Mar is that when I go out there, it rains. And that has happened to me. The last time I was there, it rained for 2 days straight. They took races off the turf. And so I told Breeders' Cup as we were organizing our setup for the broadcast for Breeders' Cup, I said, hey, look, the one requirement that I really need to make sure is there is we need to be undercover. We need to have a tent. We need something because when I go to Del Mar, it rains.
You bring
and
the
it
rain.
It never rains in
San Diego. Yeah, it rains 2 days every 3 years.
Right. And I
so good job on
the
that.
Days that I'm there. Talk about the mush.
That, well, they had a drought a couple years ago. You should have gone out and visited.
It would have poured. It would have absolutely poured. The drought would have ended. So our poll question at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, is if you had to pick a three-year-old champion right now, who would it be here on September 23rd? Just based on what we've seen so far. Gunrunner getting some votes. That's great, but he's not a three-year-old. Let's see. How about Oscar Performance? Now, that's an interesting.
I think that's my dry cleaner. Are you sure that's a horse?
Oscar the
was that a ride-in?
Oscar Performance. Here's a horse. Oscar Performance. That could be interesting. You know, look, Oscar Performance has done his running on the grass, right? And he's been exceptional. He won the Grade One Secretariat last time. Won the Belmont Derby before that. The Grade Three Pennine Ridge before that. He's paired up three consecutive wins, and he's really gotten good. Look, I mean, is a horse, a turf horse, could he conceivably be the three-year-old champion in a wide-open year?
If he does something in the Breeders' Cup. You know, I think that's the only way a horse like that seals the deal. You know, with as many horses that are out there and wide open, I think a horse like that, and certainly on the turf, you've got to nail the Breeders' Cup.
Yep.
For that to be under consideration.
IRAP getting a vote. We'll see him in the Pennsylvania Derby later today. Mastery. Remember Mastery? He might have been the best three-year-old in this crop this year. Who knows? He obviously was injured and retired. He gets a vote, too.
And I think that, I mean, I wish that horse hadn't gotten hurt because he was a machine.
He was special. Yeah. He appeared to be special, yeah, no doubt. And one of the many outstanding young horses for trainer Bob Baffert. All right, we're going to get to a short break, get you set for hour two. Chris Gatulak is coming up from Remington to talk about tomorrow's Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby. We'll do that right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire digs in. Cloud Computing draws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
It is Irish War Cry, and on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Very busy program this morning. We're talking Breeders' Cup. We're talking three-year-old division. And a lot more to come here in the second half of the program. If you missed any portion of the show, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast of this show and all of our shows available for you right there on our site. It is horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes, another great way to access all of our podcast programming and listen at your leisure. Busy second half of the show begins with Chris Gatulak from Remington, and you take a look at what's happening there tomorrow, that Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby is, you know, we touched on it earlier, the three-year-old division wide open, and this is a race that very well could play into the championship picture, especially with horses like Gervin and Battle and Midway going to the post, especially a horse like Gervin, in my opinion. And Chris Gatulak is with us now from Remington. Chris, appreciate the time. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Mike. Last time you and I spoke face-to-face, we were at Turfway Park. Simon and Bray and I had come, and it was when Turfway first got Equitrack. So that goes, or Polytrack. Equitrack was at Remington. That was the forerunner of synthetic surfaces. Anyway, thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Yeah, happy to have you with us. And as somebody who is a native of Oklahoma, you have to feel proud to be able to talk about this particular race on this particular day.
Yeah, for sure. I was born and raised in Nebraska, but I've surfaced here back in the Midwest, in Oklahoma, as you say, after the TVG days. And Remington has a wonderful product and a fantastic facility and equal parts of quarter horse and thoroughbred racing. So, yeah, I guess you would say it is my home as far as the way I'm considered in horse racing. And you mentioned the Oklahoma Derby, Mike. Regarding Gervin, he has everything to win or lose in this race. It means a whole lot for him regarding what could happen as far as year-end honors for three-year-olds. So that's pretty cool. Quite honestly, if between Gervin and Battle of Midway, if we would have had just one of those horses, we would have thought we, you know, had a major coup. And
Jackpot,
Untrapped is the other horse that ran in the Kentucky Derby, Steve Asmussen. We are inclined to get the Asmussen horses along the way in our stakes program. But that we have all three, and Colonel's Dark Temper and the others really make it I guess you could say it's the best Oklahoma Derby ever. Dale Day has been saying that, our track announcer. He's seen more of these than I have. But when you have a third-place finisher in the Kentucky Derby surface in your race, that's a huge feather in your cap, and so we are embracing it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Chris, can Gervin still throw his hat into the ring for three-year-old championship honors?
Well, I think, you know, as proud as we are of our Oklahoma Derby, if he wins it, there will be people that have votes that will say, oh, yeah, it was just the Oklahoma Derby, you know. But if he wins it, it's a graded race. It was a $400,000 Derby. And if he wins it, he will have defeated Battle of Midway. So that's something important to consider. And he will have defeated, another Kentucky Derby horse in Untrapped. Clearly, the big race for Derby horses this weekend is taking place in out on the East Coast. The Pennsylvania Derby overshadows our Derby as far as the Derby weekend goes, but we'll see how things shake out there, and there could be even more drama heaped upon our big race Sunday afternoon. That's important thing I want to emphasize, folks. We're racing on Sunday. We typically don't, and it's daytime racing. We're typically at night.
Well, and I thought it was interesting. You said Gervin, had it to win or lose, had a lot to win or lose. You know, whether or not people want to downplay the importance of the Derby, the Oklahoma Derby, you know, whether it's grade three or 400,000, you know, if he wins, you're able to kind of scratch out that clunker in the Traverse a little bit, I think, you know.
Yeah, that's terrific. It's an excellent Band-Aid or helps you get over that dark shadow or the skeleton in your closet, and we'd love to see it. And I have tried to kick into gear the marketing approach that, you know, this, we are the Derby gateway into the Breeders' Cup. Well, with the proximity of the Pennsylvania Derby, that sort of, shaves off that impact a little bit there, but horses have used our race to go on into the Breeders' Cup, whether it be Will Take Charge. We're very proud of what he has done, and Caleb's Posse thereafter, as far as two-year-olds or three-year-olds or whatever the case is to get into the Breeders' Cup races. So we're important, and we are, hoping that the best horse does win this race. It's awfully cool to see these horses surface in your backside stable area on Derby week. Anybody that works in horse racing gets all fired up when they're around the big horses, and we're pretty proud of what we have here. And the Oaks as well, with the Eclipse Award two-year-old champion Champagne Room, she's in for the Oaks as well. So,
and you have a monster card coming up too. I mean,
yeah, the whole card is great, Chris.
Yeah, we call it Stakestopia, or at least I do. 10 stakes races on a 12 race card. This was the idea of Matt Vance, our VP of Racing and Gaming, a couple years ago, to just heap them all together. That is not his idea in general. Of course, across the nation, that started a dozen years or so ago. But they usually just go five or six stakes races. We put about the whole stakes book in one day.
That'll keep you busy for the day.
It paid off because when you have trainers that are coming that you're trying to lure for one race, if you say, hey, but look, we also have a sprint race, or we've got a turf race, or we've got a filly race, then load them into the van or the plane and bring them on, and the more the merrier.
Yeah, and again, that Oklahoma Derby coming up tomorrow, as Chris alluded to. It is not today. It is tomorrow. Post time is 7:40. Now, let's see. Is that correct, Chris? 7:46 Eastern, I guess,
local
right?
Local time.
Local yes. time, 8:46 Eastern.
Central time.
Yeah, all yeah. right, so 8:46 so, Eastern.
Right. Well, I'm professing that it's daytime racing. By the time we get to the Oklahoma yeah. Derby on our 12 race car, the sun has set.
Yeah, well, it should be a really good race. Battle of Midway, Girvin, the top two names, as Chris mentioned, you have Untrapped in there. Gato del Oro, 9-2 on the morning line. Colonel's Dark Temper, 4-1. Chris, if you're going to pick an upsetter in that race, and I don't know how much time you've actually delved into handicapping it yet, as you get ready for tomorrow, but if you're going to pick an upsetter, is there maybe somebody lying in the weeds that you could see upsetting the apple cart?
Well, I think the big four horses out of the field of eight, I think are, you mentioned Battle of Midway, Untrapped, he would be the fourth of the big four, I think, Colonel's Dark Temper and Girvin. I didn't include Gato del Oro in the big four. I know he recently finished second to Battle of Midway, but Battle of Midway just rolled right on by him, and the other horses have stakes, graded stakes competition, and their graded stakes place. So I'm going to pass on Gato del Oro, thinking that he could be a long shot, but you know, evidently he would be in my thinking. Colonel's Dark Temper will probably just be sort of the stepchild. I think he has a major role to play in the race. You know, he's owned by A.J. Foyt Jr., the A.J. Foyt of auto racing. And if John Court steps on the gas and goes up there and sets the tempo at a controlled pace, it's really going to have a big impact. What will Gato del Oro do? Will he go to the front? Where will Battle of Midway be going into the first turn? Because I think if he gets the trip, he wins the race. But I think these horses are, the four that I've mentioned, are clumped together fairly similarly. Untrapped is the one that has the probably the most significant variance in running style. He does look like one that's just going to drop out of it early and then come running at the end. And where does that put Girvin as well? You know, he'll probably be in a stalking position, so maybe he'll be in the catbird seat. I don't have a really strong idea for a long shot in the race. I am going to pick Battle of Midway as my top selection. I think my upset horse, even though I'm going to pick Champagne Room in the Oaks, my upset horse would be the horse Torrance, trained by Ron Moquette in the eighth race. I think she's rested and ready, and she is going to pounce. But in a short field, it might not set up well for her. But those are my thoughts as far as the big stakes races go. Coincidentally, and I don't know how much time we have, guys, but I have 6 horses on my horses to watch list or trouble list that are all coming back on Oklahoma Derby Day on Sunday.
Ooh.
And I'll be happy to rattle right through all those. If anybody wants to just dot them down, I'll be brief with each horse.
Yeah, throw them out there, Chris.
Okay, all right. So in the first race, there's a horse named, it's the 8 horse, and my chicken scratches is preventing me from, Dr. Demo, I think is his name. Yes, 8th race, first race, the 8 horse, Dr. Demo.
Yep.
He's a Toby Keith homebred. And I like his chances quite a bit. In the 3rd race, the 1 horse Paternal Pride on my horses to watch list. In the 4th race, number 10, horse named Moorhawk. My long shot of the entire card in the 7th race, the 1 horse Plucky, is just a claimer, and I think she has what it takes to rise up and beat that field of fillies and mares over the turf. In the 9th race, okay, here's one that is a reach. It's in the Ricks Memorial. I'm going to go for the 3-horse Strive. The heavy favorite will be the inside horse in that 9th race. And I'm just going to, just against probably my best judgment, I'm going to pick against the 1-horse Gianna's Dream in the Rand Ricks Memorial and go for the 3-horse Strive. And then finally in the 12th race, of the horses I've mentioned, this is probably the one I'm least inspired by, but the 3-horse 10-speed is one that I also have on my horses to watch list. So there you go. For better or worse, the names and number of the races, these horses all did something in a race. They either got in trouble or did something impressive that I think would set them up for a good effort coming up this Sunday.
I'm talking with Chris Katulak from Remington here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Chris, you mentioned a couple of big names on the human side of things with Toby Keith and A.J. Foyt. Are either of those individuals supposed to attend the races tomorrow?
I saw Jinx Fires, the trainer of Colonel's Dark Temper, a number of times in the evening last night at the racetrack, and I missed him on the backside each morning. So I've been within arm's reach and haven't been able to ask him. So I don't know about that. I would say Toby Keith has a very good chance of surfacing. He's there frequently throughout the course of our racing season. He's totally into the horse racing product. He loves the racing element, the visceral feeling of being at the racetrack. And I spoke with him a couple weeks ago, and he basically said, "Yeah, if I can be there, I will be," meaning a concert schedule or you know, personal calendar, that sort of thing. But there's a fair chance of it. And, you know, for a star such as he is, country music singer, songwriter, mogul, he comes out of his suite quite a bit upstairs and just kind of mingles around with people. And half the time, Mike, I don't even know he's standing right next to me because he's just sort of an ordinary-looking guy when he comes to the races. Of course, he's got sunglasses on and a cap and just sort of mingles right in. But he might be there. It would not surprise me. And he'll slip down to the winner's circle if he wins the race.
Yeah, he made an appearance here in Lexington this past week with the Keeneland Sale, and somebody who is very supportive of horse racing. Obviously, he has his dream walking farm. And, you know, I had a chance to meet Toby Keith at the Breeders' Cup last time I was here at Churchill and spent considerable time talking with him one night. And one of the, like you said, Chris, one of those guys that is very unassuming. You wouldn't know that he's a big country music star, just a super guy. A regular guy, as the saying goes, and you know, we really wish him all the best and hopefully continued success in this business.
Sure, and if you are short on time, don't get started talking pedigrees with him because he will mow you over with that. That is his thing. And speaking of pedigrees, that the horse we're speaking of in the first race on Sunday, Dr. Demo, is from the first crop of a stallion named Dr. Chit, and my wife, who is an equine repro specialist, she's a veterinarian. Has bred a number of these Toby Keith. Well, she hasn't because she's worked with them, I should say. The quarter horse, it's the embryo transfer stuff. The thoroughbreds is verboten. You do not do the embryo transfer stuff with the thoroughbreds. But she's familiar with these Dr. Chit babies that she has seen here in Oklahoma at Royal Vista Ranches. So she's as excited as Toby is to see some of these horses get to the races.
And if I remember correctly, didn't he have either an interest or ownership of, what was it, Cactus Ridge?
Yep.
Or that,
yes,
stood here Cactus in Ridge. Kentucky for a while, yeah.
Right, and off the top of my head, I think the year that Cactus Ridge won the Arlington Washington Juvenile, he was, at that time of the year, obviously we were still a few months away from the Breeders' Cup, but he was considered the top two-year-old of the time, and then at that same time around Labor Day, he had qualified the fastest horse to the All-American Futurity. He was among the 10 qualifiers, and then neither of the horses made it to their big races. The horse he had in the Futurity, the All-American Futurity, injured himself in a freak wind photo accident in the winner's circle after it won its trial, and I'm not certain with Cactus Ridge what happened there, but there's part of the peaks and valleys, and no one has been vaccinated from suffering the lows along with the highs, not even biggies like a Toby Keith.
Chris Katulak with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from Remington Park in Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Derby coming up tomorrow. It's a good one. Grade 3, $400,000. Chris, just about a minute or so left before we have to wrap it up and get to our next commercial break, but what can players and fans expect when they either tune in or attend the races at Remington tomorrow?
Well, boy, I'm glad you asked, because the big thing is towards the end of the card, the final four races, we have a $100,000 all-stakes pick four minimum pool guaranteed of $100,000. And so that's huge, tremendous value and quality to bet into. But if you're physically going to come to the races at Remington, I have to say this, I'll sound a little bit like a homer, but every weekend at the racetrack, I work both the front side and the back side, whether I'm providing a preview or doing something after the races in the winner's circle, and the amount of newcomers that we have to the race come to the races is just outstanding. But that's only half the battle. It's great that we get them there via our marketing department, but we have to make these people feel like they're our guests and have a good experience in order to get them to come back. But I think if you come to Remington for the first time, one, you'll be impressed about how clean and sort of modern looking it is. And secondly, that there are some people outside enjoying themselves at the races, which you unfortunately nowadays don't get all that much. So I think they'll be pleasantly surprised in a conclusion of a long response to your question there, Mike.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day of racing, and we encourage people to tune in and make sure they watch that Oklahoma Derby and all the great racing coming up tomorrow at Remington.
Stakes-a-palooza, Chris, correct?
Yeah, stakes-a-palooza. It's going to be outstanding.
Yeah, well, that's work. Stakes-topia.
Or Stakes-topia.
Here's better. Hey, it's been a treat to be on your show, and keep in mind, at the end of the year in December, we have our $400,000 springboard mile, which is a whole other big banner we like to wave here at Remington. So I'd love to be on the show then and talk about the two-year-olds then.
You got it. You got it, Chris. Well, we appreciate it, my friend. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Chris Katulak with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And time now for your Blood Horse news update. And, of course, a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Gio Ponti Filly tops the September 22nd Keeneland sale session. That's right, a filly by Gio Ponti sold for $115,000 to John Brocklebank, agent for R3 Stable, to top the September 22nd penultimate session of Keeneland's September yearling sale. Keeneland reported 159 yearlings changed hands Friday for a total of more than $2.1 million, an average of $13,000 and a median of $7,500. Cumulatively, that sale has been outstanding. It began on September 11th. 2,420 horses grossed more than $306 million. How about that? An average of $126,000 at that Keeneland September sale. That's your Blood Horse News update. For more industry news and headlines, simply head on over to BloodHorse.com and you can sign up, of course, to get Blood Horse delivered to you. And a special offer only to HRN listeners. You can get 10 issues for $10 at BloodHorse.com. We're back to visit with Brad Green from Washington Hay right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. 7 stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Racing fans, Santa Anita's 2017 Autumn Meet is less than a week away with opening day this Friday, September 29th. Be sure to join us on Saturday, September 30th for Breeders' Cup Challenge Day as 5 Grade 1 stakes will highlight a blockbuster 11-race card that'll feature a $750,000 guaranteed late pick 4. Come catch some winners at Quigley's Corner beginning at 11:20 a.m. First post time on all weekends is at 12:30. Great racing and great value. Welcome back to Santa Anita.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's a grinding finish, and Hip Hip Hooray in front, and Admiralty Pier, and now Untamed Domain. Untamed Domain right at the wire.
Despite a slow beginning, Untamed Domain came storming home to run down favored Hemp Hemp Hooray in the Grade 2 Summer Stakes at Woodbine this past weekend.
punching his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and making the son of Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom, a champion three-year-old and brilliant winner of the Kentucky Derby and Dubai World Cup, rated 128 by Timeform. Animal Kingdom possessed unique talent as a grade one horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic Untamed Domain, while he became Animal Kingdom's third stakes winner from his first crop. No freshman sire has more in 2017. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And the pace quickens noticeably at the top of the stretch in the Indian Oaks, and it's Overture's Homeward Pound, and in majestic quality comes to confront on the outside second. Awestruck third, Mopetism on the stand side forward, now up into third, four lengths off the lead. They run to the 16th pole. It's Overture who continues to fight on the front end. It's Overture who leads Mopetism a final try, but it's Overture in the Indiana Oaks defeating Mopetism. Then it was majestic quality, a mile and a 16th, 143.79.
Overture with a big victory in the Indiana Oaks, and one of the horses to contend with in tonight's Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. We'll have that coverage for you coming up 9 o'clock Eastern Time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Make sure you tune in worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can stream us on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet. You can Bluetooth us in your car, so listen anywhere in the world. Horseracingradio.net beginning at 9 o'clock Eastern. Post time for that Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks is 10:18, and Anthony Stabile and Felix Mendez will take you through the coverage later tonight, and should be a good one. Overture is a horse that guest co-host Brian Collins kind of fancies a little bit in that race today. We'll see if he's right coming up later tonight. Brad Green is the owner of Washington Hay Company here in Georgetown, Kentucky, and they do an unbelievable job of bringing top quality hay to not just the horse sales, but many of the horse farms around the area. And Brad is with us now here on HRRN. Brad, what's up, man? How are you?
I am great this morning, Mike. How's everything on your neck of the woods?
Everything's good. The sun is shining, so we must be making hay. Is
that
right?
Hay weather. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing here. And we've got a big week planned and several acres on the ground and trucks coming this way, getting ready for the big push into Keeneland and Churchill working, and was up late last night in Louisville, in fact, making the delivery. Yeah, things are good.
All right, so let's talk about Washington Hay Company. Let's talk about what makes it different from other products that might be available out there. What's so special about Washington Hay Company?
Well, we do take great pride in our product and work very closely with farmers out west. We've got a couple of guys in Washington State, of course, that grow our hay, and our business is all about connections and people that think like us, work like us, do like us, and that want to put the same quality into their work that we want to put into ours and selling products to our customers and our service. We do the service, they do the growing, and our hay is palatable. The smell is good. The horses like it. It's just a very high-quality product made at the right time under the right conditions. These guys are great out there about handling their water because they can irrigate, of course. We can't do that. And they can pick their time to get in the field, and they do a good job doing it.
All right. So for the layman like me, I always said, well, hay is hay, right? I mean, what makes good hay and what makes great hay? What's the difference?
Timing and weather. There's a window of opportunity to put this plant in a bale of hay and in an order that it will stay and not get musty or moldy, and if the feed value is as high as you can get it for what it is, whether it's Timothy or alfalfa. Around here, we're very limited to having the weather and the timing at the same window to meet. Out there, they can do that. They wait till the crop is just when it needs to be cut, they can go in and they hit it like crazy and put it in a barn, let it set, go through its drying process, and ship it out to us. And we take it on to our customers. They are going to be very happy with what we've done so far. It's been a good growth in our company here in the last couple, 3 years. Seeing that.
Well, it's almost like you, with a last name like Green, you were kind of bred into this business. Is it a family thing?
Well, yeah, I grew up a farmer right here in Georgetown, Kentucky, and that's all my family ever did. I love doing that, and we raised a lot of our own hay. And how I got into the business was buying this Western hay from these people that I bought the company from. And I loved their product. It was an easy sell when you go out to the customers of mine that wanted that instead of the two-string local hay. And as the gentleman that owned it got older, he said, well, you just need to buy me out. And I thought, well, if I can't sell that product, I should just quit because it's that good. And the more we got into, the better it is. I love my farming side of it, and we try to take our same actions and the way we go about our daily lives into our business in Washington Hay Company. And we brought a lot of our past with us, how we treat people. And we've got people that we literally take three bales to, and they're like, thank you for going out of your way. That's what we do. We sell service and product, and I can't tell you which order it's in because they're both important.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I can tell you personally I've been impressed with in working with you over the past couple of years, Brad, is that personal touch that, you know, mm-hmm. that you bring to each and every customer that you work with. And when they call Washington Hay Company, they're calling you directly. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the upcoming Keeneland meet, the race meet, which will be taking place. I know you do a lot of work with the horse farms that are in this area, mm-hmm. too. For people that are tuned in saying, okay, well, maybe I want to give Washington Hay Company a shot. Maybe I want to give Brad a call, get some more information. Why is it so important to make sure that you're using top quality hay for your horses?
Well, we do the thoroughbred industry, and we do hunter jumpers, too. But in the thoroughbred industry, you're raising an athlete. You've got this motor that needs to be fed the premium gasoline, and you don't want to go anywhere. Well, let's stop at this gas station and get some sometime. And we'll go to this gas station. And it's a little bit different mix, a little bit different blend, and everybody in the horse industry knows that a horse is just waiting to have some kind of intestinal problem. They can't wait to do that. They're just, that's how horses are. So our product is very consistent throughout the year. Take great pride in when we open up the doors and we bring you something, your horse is not going to change. He's not going to, the way he digests, it's not going to change. He's going to like it. He's going to eat it. His body's going to like it. But with that being said, it's hard to understand why people don't put more emphasis on what they feed. I see some people that feed just think, well, it's just hay. Just hay. Well, but it's not just hay. Not what we do when we feed ourselves. Well, sometimes we do, and we pay the consequences.
Well, you know, and you did bring up the drying process and how much effort you guys put into that. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is when you get old musty hay, you know, that can lead to a lot of respiratory issues as well. You know, I think it was great that you mentioned how much effort you guys put into that, making sure you dry it at the right time and that you bale it up right and that it's shipped as a good product.
Yes, we're very careful about what we send back out. You know, we handle every bale of hay that comes through here just about, I have to say. We flipped it and seen it, whether it's here at the farm when we're loading it or when they're unloading it, myself and the guys that work for me, that's kind of job one is quality control. And when you handle 95 to 100 semi-loads of this hay a year, you have to be on top of it, and everybody has to be on board that works for Washington Hay that, oh, that's a bad bale. Well, it's maybe not that bad. No. If you thought it was a bad bale, kick it out, bring it home, then we'll look at it and go through it. But we're not going to leave it somewhere where somebody's going to have a problem with their horse, where their groom didn't check it, or it's dark in the morning, they threw it in there, and you've got a problem.
Yeah, I've been to the barn. I've been to the farm in Georgetown. I've seen the operation, and it's extremely impressive. Brad, how do people get in touch with you or with Washington Hay Company? If they're listening now, they want to investigate more, they want to order hay from you, how do they do it?
Well, definitely on this cell phone, of course, which is always on, it seems like. My number, I know you've got that. We'll say that again. It's 859-588-5480. But the best thing is just get on your cell phone or get on the computer and look at us up on Facebook. And our Facebook page is right there, and you can click on that link and, you know, call me, and we'll get you set up. If we can help you, that's great. And if not, that's fine. We'll be well met. Well met.
Brad, apparently my wife is tuned into the interview. She just sent me a text and said, you can let him know that the Red Sox beat the Reds last night.
Oh, you mean miss back out of going to the game. Yeah, now she wants to talk smack about the game that we should have been at. Enjoying ourselves. But no, who was making a delivery to Trackside in Churchill last night at 9:30 instead of at the Red Sox game?
See? Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, that's how she is.
Yeah.
Brad Green, Washington Hay Company here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He's going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion. You can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Brad, appreciate it, my friend. And one more time, 859-588-5480. You can call Brad directly and go ahead and check out Washington Hay Company. Just outstanding people, and they do a great job. Appreciate it, Brad.
Thanks, my friend.
Thanks,
take
Brad.
Care now. Yep.
All right. And so you're obviously a New England guy. New England guy with both sports teams, too. I guess Red Sox, Patriots for you.
Oh, yeah. Born and bred. I don't have an excuse. This summer, actually, I was lucky enough. I took my son up to Boston, went to Gillette. Which used to be Foxborough,
mm-hmm.
and he got to try on Gronkowski's gear, which he looked like a fly in a in a balloon.
How did he get that opportunity?
You know, they do a lot of really cool interactive stuff
yeah.
at the Patriot Stadium. Love them or hate them, those people run a good outfit, and they got to be able to do that. And then was able to take them to Red Sox versus the Yankees at Fenway, and that's just history every
yeah.
which way but Sunday. So, you know, those were two really cool experiences, which if he doesn't remember them, I'm going to remind him until he dies. So.
He's special guest co-host Brian Collins sitting in for the Pontiff of the Pick Four this morning. I'm Mike Pena. We're back right after this break to visit with trainer Larry Rivelli. Talk to him about that record-setting Arlington meet. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. Among the nation's leading sires by Grade 1 stakes horses in 2016, this year's stars include Terrace, Upstart, Kobe's Back, Amy's Flatter, and most recently, Paola Queen, winner of the Grade 1 test stakes at Saratoga. Success on the track has led to big numbers in the auction ring as well, with yearlings this year selling up to $425,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farms.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit VestFab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing,
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dinah Former and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Tabulator comes on to take the lead right outside the quarter pole. Smart Remark is back into second. Evan was in tight off the turn. Mo Diddley fights on with Hollywood Star. Ten City comes wide, top of the stretch. The Tabulator in front by 3 lengths with 1 furlong to go. Hollywood Star is going to try and run him down in the final furlong. Evan is back on track toward the inside in 10 City, but it's the Tabulator in front by 2.5, wandering to the outside. Hollywood Star switches back inside. Time is running out. The Tabulator continues to drift, but the Tabulator has won it. 3/4 of a length on the wire. Hollywood Star ran out of racetrack, finishing second. 10 City was third, and Evan was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna and Brian Collins with you this morning in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Jude Feld will be back in the mix again next week, but he is traveling this weekend. So Brian, nice enough to spend a little time in studio. Travis Stone had the call of the Iroquois, the Tabulator, winning that race at Churchill last weekend with a big performance. He remains undefeated for trainer Larry Ravelli, who has just been on this unbelievable roll. It's not just about the Tabulator, but Larry recently setting the single season win mark for a trainer at Arlington with 76 victories, and he's with us now here on HRRN. Larry, welcome to the program and congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Hey, what's the secret?
Been a fun time. Yep.
Yeah, what's the secret?
Just having the right horses for the right spots and, you know, knowing where to place them. And, you know, obviously I got a great team. I got a, you know, bunch of people working for me that are, you know, really, really good. And owners and letting you acquire the right type of horses for the right type of meets, you know, and it's a team effort. You know that when it comes to trying to win a race with a horse, there's a million ways to lose and only one way to win, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you've won more than your fair share. You've won well over 1,100 races in your career. You saddled your first winner, I guess, in what, 2000?
Yeah.
It's been quite a ride over these 17 years.
Yep, it has. It's, you know, ups and downs. Started with, you know, a couple horses, and you do well and you win. Everybody wants to, you know, everyone wants to win, especially in this game. So you just try to, you know, I take pride in placing my horses in the right races and you know, training each horse individually, you know. So, you know, a lot of people have a regiment and they do the same thing with every horse, and I probably don't do the same thing with any horse, you know, and I probably got 50 to 60 in training at all times, and, you know, 30 or 40 that are turned out. And, you know, another part of this is the owners, and they let you, you know, they never complain about turning them out when they need time. And if you give these horses enough break and time off, they come back. You know, I've had years after years here at Arlington with these same horses, and they, to keep performing because we give them 3-4 months off at the end of the year. You know, whereas some people might take them and try to campaign them at a different meet or whatever the next meet is. We assess all the horses, the ones that you need to move on, we move on with it. The ones that we could keep for next year, we keep them for next year. And then we get a bunch of babies that come up, homebreds, and then we go to the sales. So we got all that basis covered. It's just a matter of, you know, putting them in the right spots.
Well, that record at Arlington was previously set by Wayne Catalano, who won 75 races during the 2010 race meet. For you to not just be the leading trainer at Arlington, but to actually set the single season record, what's that mean, Larry?
Well, it's nice. Wayne and I are pretty good friends. I've been friends with Wayne for a long time, and he's a great trainer, so it's a big deal to me to be able to dethrone somebody like that. He's a you know, I'll trade the 2 Breeders' Cup wins that he has in for the leading amount of wins. And not that it's not a big deal, but I would definitely trade him in. You know, he's won a couple Breeders' Cups, and yeah, it's definitely an honor to beat him. He hasn't been as strong as a force in Illinois as he has in the past years, which makes it easier on me. And so he runs in Kentucky, he splits his stable up. So I promise you, if he had 60 or 70 here like I do, it would have been a lot closer. Because he's just as competitive, and we always goof around with each other. And he says, son, I'm going to let you win this one. I said, okay, Wayne, thanks. You got it.
Appreciate it.
How much conversation did you have with him as you were getting close to breaking his single-season record?
Just in passing in the paddock. And, you know, we like I said, I probably talk. I share, when every time I see him at the track, we stop and chat about something, the kids or the family or the horse or – how'd that one do, or what happened to that one, or why didn't we bet that one, or some conversation like that. So he knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. I think at least at this meet, that the role that I've been on has been, you know, it's been amazing. It's you know, you got to have a lot of luck too. I mean, we won a bunch of photos and head bobbers and horses scratched and made the race, you know, void of pace or something like that. You know, it's just been one of those, you know, one of those years where everything's falling into place, which is nice in this game because most of the time everything falls out of place usually when you're waiting around, you know.
Larry Rivelli with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and he's right. Sometimes when you're waiting around, things don't always fall into place, but they've done that for Larry, especially in recent months. Larry, let's talk about that win last week at Churchill Downs in the Grade 3 Iroquois. The tabulator... winning by what, 3/4 of a length, I guess. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, that, you know, we've always been really high on him. He's a real nice horse, and we bought him out of the OBS sale for, I think it was, you know, 400 plus for Carolyn Wilson, and she's been a wonderful addition to to my stable. And we always thought really highly of him. We broke his maiden here at Arlington, and and we just tried to set a plan. We couldn't get an allowance race anywhere, and I knew he was good enough to win a stake at probably a smaller venue. So we took him to Prairie Meadows, stretched him out to 6 on the dirt, and then pointed him to the winning year in, which I had success with Cocked and Loaded a couple of years ago. So that was kind of the pattern that I wanted to follow. And he'd been training great. I mean, just absolutely great. But like, you know, Jose said, I think in one of his interviews, that, you know, a lot of horses don't take to Churchill. You don't know if they're going to, you know, if they're going to like it or not. And so we took a shot, and he liked it. He's doing good. He's a real nice horse. I think he's going to fare really well in the Breeders' Cup with the Del Mar track being with the configurations, a little bit of shorter stretch, and I'm really excited about this jaunt. I think that this is probably going to be the best chance I have if he stays together to win a Breeders' Cup race.
And will you run him in between?
I will not. I thought about the Keeneland race, but, you know, he did so well with, I had almost a month and 2 week gap in between his last race and the Iroquois.
Yeah.
And he you can train him. He'll let you do whatever you want with him. If I need a fast work, he'll work fast. If I need a slow maintenance work, he'll work slow. So with horses like that, they're easier to train. You can keep them on the track and, you know, keep them, you know, let's so to say healthier, out of harm's way, so to say.
Larry, when did you know that he could really run?
The other day when I ran them. Yeah. I mean, we always thought highly of them, but it's, you know, until you put them in, you know, you get horses running second at Saratoga. You know, we ran at Prairie Meadows, and, you know, I'm really good with spotting my horses, and I spot them, and then that's the tell sign when you, you know, you bring them to Churchill or Saratoga, and, you know, if they perform like that, then you know you got a good one. So, you know, and over the past years I've done it and had been unsuccessful because the horses just aren't the same quality as the horses that we're eventually stepping up to, and which is, you know, the case a lot of times in this game. Everybody's out there trying to do the same thing we are.
All right, so talk about the approach now. You said he won't have a start between now and the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, but what's the approach in your philosophy in bringing him up to that race, making sure that he's ready to roll and for his best effort when he shows up at Del Mar?
What I'll do, I'll keep him in Chicago until probably the 22nd or 23rd when they're allowing horses in on the grounds, I think, at Del Mar. We'll fly him out there. I will have probably two or three works in him before he leaves, and then I'll have plan to have two works there, a couple of maintenance works, and then I'll put him in company with an older horse, a better horse, better quality, and have him chase him around there to keep him, you know, keep him on point. And then I haven't decided if I'm going to ship his workhorse with, fly him out to Del Mar with him, or just make his last prep work here with that horse. It's just, that's the only thing that's really, you know, kind of up in the air. You know, and you never know, he could get a cough or a snot or something and throw me off or back or something for a day or two. But that's the basic plan. We get three works in him here before he flies out to Del Mar, and two works before he goes in the gate over there.
Yeah, I've been told by several people who do run horses at Del Mar on a regular basis that it's difficult to perform well over that track if you don't have some familiarity with it. So it sounds like you're taking the right approach. Get him out there, get him familiar with it as soon as you possibly can, and let him become accustomed to that surface. Have you run horses at Del Mar before?
You know, I've ran it every track in America. I've never ran at Del Mar.
Well, yeah, you know, maybe your first time will be the charm.
Yeah, how about that?
Would be pretty good. The Tabulator, winner of the Iroquois, and for Larry Rivelli, it's been quite a ride over the past couple of months and looking for bigger and better things up the road. Larry, coming up on our final commercial break, so I have to let you go, but I want to let you know that, like all of our guests who appear on this program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel of the horse racing lifestyle, and of course, people can embrace the race at embracetherace.com, and we appreciate you taking the time this morning and want to wish you all the best moving forward, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, pal.
All right, appreciate congratulations.
Good luck today, Larry.
Larry Rivelli.
Bye-bye.
On the Horse Racing Radio Network. Right approach, I think. Get them out there as soon as you possibly can. I have had several people tell me that, look, if you don't have a start over this racetrack, you better be here as soon as you possibly can to get familiar with it. And you have to think that maybe that gives the locals some type of an advantage, right?
Well, not only that, you get to spend a couple more days in San Diego. So.
Well, if you go out early, yeah. Right?
I think it's just people making up the excuse so they can go out there and hang out by
right.
the beach.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
But, I mean, you don't get to a spot like Larry has and be winning at a 25% clip by taking the wrong approach. So,
right.
You know, I like the plan for the horse. You know, a good little layoff there, and it worked well for him last time coming into that last race.
Say maybe his best chance to win a Breeders' Cup race. This is a good horse. 3-for-3, son of Dialed In, you know, who, of course, stands at Darby Dan out of a Giants Causeway mare. Distances should not be an issue for the Tabulator, and you saw it the other day at Churchill Downs. The horse can really run, and now a perfect 3-for-3. All right, we're going to get to one final commercial break. We will come back, wrap up the program next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Racing fans, Santa Anita's 2017 Autumn Meet is less than a week away with opening day this Friday, September 29th. Be sure to join us on Saturday, September 30th for Breeders' Cup Challenge Day as five Grade 1 stakes will highlight a blockbuster 11-race card that'll feature a $750,000 guaranteed late pick four. Come catch some winners at Quigley's Corner beginning at 11:20 a.m. First post time on all weekends is at 12:30. Great racing and great value. Welcome back to Santa Anita.
Stuart Morris possesses 30 years of experience in the thoroughbred business and started consigning horses on his own just 2 years ago. Already, one of his sales graduates, Mel Agassi, found himself on the Kentucky Derby Trail and now has 3 2-year-old stakes winners in 2017. Tremont winner He Hate Me, undefeated Kelly's Humor, winner of the Ellis Park Debutante, and Pacific Gale, who won Monmouth's Sorority Stakes. Those three coming from just 65 yearlings sold by Stuart Morris last year. Visit the Stuart Morris consignments at upcoming sales to find your next winner.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepperett and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Tappet, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Tappet has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Tappet's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, and the winners of three of the past four Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming sales. Tappet. Standing at Gainesway.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Don't forget, if you missed any portion of today's Equine Forum or any of our talk shows we produce throughout the week, just head on over to horseracingradio.net and check out the podcast at your leisure. You can listen to us anywhere in the world at horseracingradio.net. Been a busy couple of hours here this morning. Had a chance to visit with Eric Zimney from Charlestown, talking about that Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks, Chris Katulak from Remington Park, Brad Green from Washington Hay Company, and you just heard Larry Rivelli talking about the Tabulator, who won the Iroquois last week at Churchill and is on his way to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Del Mar. Coming up, believe it or not, very, very quickly, the countdown to the Breeders' Cup has begun. We are now just 41 days, 4 hours, and 27 minutes away from that World Championships. Going to be here before we know it, BC.
Oh, you'll blink it, it'll happen.
Huh? Exactly.
You know, we're all waiting to see, you know, what connections are going to do, whether or not they're going to race again, and you know, I mean, you got next weekend and then the October meet at Keeneland and then bam.
Yeah, massive weekend next weekend. Super Saturday at both Belmont and Santa Anita. We're going to bring you that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, so make sure you're tuned in next weekend. And make sure you're tuned in tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, as we bring you coverage of that Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks. Anthony Stabile and Felix Mendez going to bring you that coverage. We talked about Overture being one of the contenders in there, and our good friend Stuart Morris, who you can catch at all the major consignments across the country, will be selling the dam of Overture in full to Tappet at Fasig Tipton November. So mark that one down, especially if Overture jumps up with that huge effort today. She's been very, very good, and you would expect, Brian, that she's going to be one of the contenders in that race later tonight.
You know, nothing but speed right there. And, you know, I like the way that Charlestown's laid out for it.
Yep.
You know, it's a night race. Lights are a factor, and we'll see what that happens. You know, and certainly That's a good spot for Stewart to be in. You know, he's got that dam and in foal to the right horse, that's for sure.
Yeah, been a lot of fun to have you on board here with me this morning, my friend. As we talked about at the top of the show, you and I go back a long way, growing up just within 2 miles of each other in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and fun to do a show with you.
It was great. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, good stuff. Your next comedian. Stand-up comedian show.
Next show is the 29th of this month in Nicholasville, Kentucky.
Beautiful.
At the Keene Lodge.
All right. Well, make sure you're over there to check it all out. Been a lot of fun.
I appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, check out our website, horseracingradio.net. Follow us on Twitter at HRRN and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. For our producer, Lee Delapina, here in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, for Sean C. Chauncey, handling all of our social media this morning. For Brian Collins, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, go Steelers.